Let me add my welcome to Steve's. My name is Ben Thorndike. I'm one of the associate vicars here and the minister of St Richard's. You've got your Bibles open. They will help us. We've got some slides for the screens. First one should be up in a moment. You will catch men. That sounds less like the opening line of a Sunday sermon, more like the introduction to a dating service. You will catch men. That's what Jesus says to Simon, or the disciple Peter, as we better know him. Luke 5, verse 10, you will catch men. Or to read directly from the NIV, from now on, you will fish for people. We're in Luke's Gospel, Dr. Luke's account of Jesus' life and ministry on earth, written around 65 AD with Gentile Christians in mind, Christians who hadn't previously been Jews, eventually even Christians from Crowborough. A book written with people like us in mind. It's chapter 5, verses 1 to 11 this morning, the start of a section running to 6:16, where the focus is on Jesus gathering his disciples. Jesus is building his team. He's getting the troops together. It's what leaders do. It's what teachers like Jesus did back then. But what's really interesting is who Jesus chooses. A motley crew. I think we've got a picture of some licorice all sorts. Jesus' motley crew. Not Bassett's, though, but Tesco Value. Tesco Value all sorts. The team Jesus chooses, they're not well-trained, they're not well-taught, they're not cool and trendy or respected. Yet Jesus launches them into a journey with God. He will begin to change their lives on their journey of fishing for people. Let's move on to our next slide. You will catch men, or from now on you will fish for people. Why does Jesus say it? Why should we listen to him? What does he mean? Well, again, have your Bibles open. Let's pray and ask for God's help for us, all ages together, this morning. Father God, thank you for your word to us. We pray your Spirit would help us understand its truths this morning, that we might know better who you are and what it means to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From now on, you will fish for people. That's where we're heading at the end of our passage. Why does Jesus say it? Why should we listen to him? What does he mean? Well, let's take those questions one at a time. Why does Jesus say it? And to answer that, we need to understand Jesus. That's the first thing, the first heading, verses 1 to 3. Understand Jesus. His priority is sharing the gospel. Jesus has just told us this in chapter 4, verse 43. So it's no surprise that we find Jesus teaching in chapter 5, standing by the Sea of Galilee, with people all over the place. Verse 1, crowding round him and listening to the word of God. Jesus is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, the gospel. That God's king has come to save people, to set captives free, ultimately from sin, to set sinners free. Free from the consequences of living as kings of our lives instead of God's true king, Jesus. And we all know what happens when people set themselves up as kings instead of the true king. Well, the real king isn't happy and they're kicked out of the kingdom. That's the gospel. King Jesus has come to save us from the consequence of trying to be kings of our lives instead of him. The king has come to save us from the king's punishment. That's a bit of a mind blower. I want to say how very kind of him. He really didn't have to do it. Jesus is teaching, not in the synagogue, but out on the lakeside. Understand Jesus. His priority is sharing the gospel. It's getting a bit overcrowded. I might have been inclined to call it a day. Enough's enough, but Jesus doesn't. Verses 2 to 3, Jesus finds a really clever way to keep on teaching. Understand Jesus. His priority is sharing the gospel. Jesus is always ready, always willing, any time, any place, anywhere. Some of us will remember the old martini adverts. I had one. It wasn't a good use of 30 seconds in the sermon, but if you remember them, that's the picture. Understand Jesus. His priority is sharing the gospel, always ready. Whenever people want to listen, Jesus is always ready. If you want to listen today, even if you've never listened to him before, Jesus is ready to speak to you as he speaks his words today through the pages of the Bible. If you've neglected Jesus' word in your life, maybe generally we can go home and not open our Bibles from one Sunday to the next. Or in a specific area of your life, you don't want to listen to Jesus in. About living for Jesus, perhaps listening to your parents or not exasperating your children. Perhaps it's a relationship you shouldn't be in or one you should persevere with. Romantic relationships are often the biggest stumbling block for Christians. Whatever it is, if you are ready to listen, Jesus is always ready to teach us. In verse 10, Jesus says to Peter, "From now on, you will fish for people." Why does Jesus say it? Well, understand Jesus, his priority is sharing the gospel. But why should we listen to him? Well, we can trust Jesus. That's the second thing. Verses 4 to 7, trust Jesus. He knows how to get the job done. Now, let me ask, and it's going to be a hands up for this, A, B, or C. In fact, you can hands up, you can wave wildly, you can even jump up and down on the spot if you want. Just don't shout out. Who's going to be best at fishing? There are three pitches, then we're going to have a vote. First one, is it the fireman? Who's going to be the best at fishing? Is it the fireman? Second pitcher. Is it going to be the teacher who's best at fishing? Third slide. Is it going to be the fisherman who's best at fishing? We're going to have a vote now. A, B, or C. Hands up, wave, dance, jump, whatever you want if you think it's A. Who's going to be best at fishing? Is it the fireman? No. Okay, let's move on. B. Is it going to be the teacher who's best at fishing? No. Okay, third one, I'm hoping for some movement here. You're a hard crowd this morning. Is it going to be the fisherman who's the best at fishing? Well done. A flurry of hands. Of course it is. Of course it's C. It's their job to do it. Except here in our Bible passage, it's actually B, the teacher. Jesus is about to ask Peter to join him fishing for people. But first, in case Peter had any doubt, Jesus is going to show Peter, the professional fisherman Peter is, that Jesus knows how to get the fishing job done. Our next slide. Jesus is out in the shallows, verse 3, facing the crowds on the bank. Verse 4, Jesus finishes teaching and asks Peter to push out further for a spot of fishing. Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Notice the irony. Here's a carpenter teacher telling a fisherman how to fish. We should know something's about to happen. To stack the odds against Jesus further, verse 5, Peter notes it's not a good fishing moment. We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. I expect Peter to say, "So on your bike." But no. For some reason, as one writer notes, despite appearances and against his professional judgment, Peter acts on Jesus' word. An act of faith in response to the powerful word of God. Peter recognizes some sort of power and authority about Jesus. It's a process for Peter. Another penny will drop in verse 8. But here Peter acts by faith in response to Jesus' words. So fishing they go. Now we're going to try some fishing, a fishing simulation. We haven't got massive nets to hang over the side of the boat. We've got a small rod and line. Let's see if we can go fishing this morning. We've done our risk assessment. It's okay. In fact, we haven't done our risk assessment. But we've got nobody sat here in the front, which is okay. You haven't paid for your seats either, so we'll give it a go. Let's see what we can catch as we go fishing this morning. We're either going to tangle the line or take someone out, or it's going to work. Let's see where we can land it. Let's pretend it landed over there in the pulpit. Let's go and see what our catch is. That's my usual fishing experience. What have we caught in the lake over there? Let's just grab our landing net and find out what we've got. Bear with me, suspend your disbelief just for a moment as we try and, it's a big one, it's a big one. And look, fantastic. We've got a few claps there, a few claps there. Wonderful. They catch a whole handful of fish. They catch so many, many more than me. So many, verses 6 to 7, the two boats begin to sink as the nets are hauled in. Fishing for fish. Trust Jesus, he knows how to get the job done. Peter finds great blessing for this act of faith, an abundance of fish, as he trusted and obeyed the word of Jesus without hesitation. Perhaps remember that when we're tempted to dally or delay or simply not obey at all. We often think our way is the best way. Well, God proves each time that his way truly is the best way. One English bishop says, walk in it and you won't be a loser. I'm slightly paraphrasing, but it's true. This catch is Jesus' illustration, how he will guide the disciples on their next fishing trip for people. Jesus is about to turn to spiritual matters. From now on, you will fish for people. Why does Jesus say it? Understand Jesus. His priority is sharing the gospel. Why should we listen to him? Fishing for people, trust Jesus. He knows how to get the job done. Therefore, follow Jesus. Our final slide, the final thing, verses 8 to 11. Follow Jesus, joining God's mission to save people. On seeing the miraculous catch of fish, another penny drops for Peter, perhaps not yet fully understanding who Jesus is, God's promised king come to earth. But Peter certainly recognizes Jesus as God's man with some sort of access to divine power. At which point, Peter knows enough about God's holiness to know that his sin, like each of us, puts him at risk of God's judgment. Verse 8, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. But Jesus has another fishing trip for Peter and the disciples. We were going to do some more fishing. I can see the line is tangled. I'm not going to risk it anymore. Lynn Arnie will be very pleased about that. But we are going to go fishing with our net. Let's see what we catch this time. As Jesus takes the disciples, in a sense, on their second fishing trip, let's see what we get over here. And look at this. Fishing for people. Trust Jesus, fishing for people. He knows what he's doing. Join in God's mission to save people. Don't be afraid, Jesus says to Peter in verse 10, from now on you will fish for people. Well, what does Jesus mean? Jesus makes the miracle of fish a picture of his mission for people. The miracle of fish is a picture of his mission for people, to save people. And Jesus shows us here who he uses in that mission. Sinners who live by faith, depending on God's grace. Sinners who live by faith, living in response to Jesus' word, depending on God's grace, God's undeserved kindness to us. These are the people God uses to fish for people. As one writer notes, to be a fisher of people is to be a fish who's able to relate what it means to be pulled out of dangerous waters by God's grace. That we might join in God's mission of pulling others alive out of dangerous water before it's too late. Follow Jesus, joining God's mission to save people. God's mission is to save people as the powerful word of the gospel is proclaimed. A message of changed lives, life and hope for all sinners who will respond. Proclaimed by sinners who have had their lives changed by Jesus. As we finish now, God doesn't use us from a place of power, of skill or gifting. We spend so much time looking for those things, the places we can shine for Jesus and help God do his work. But God doesn't need or want servants who think we're doing him a favor. It's in our weakness God shows his grace and power to us and through us. When we feel ill-equipped, scared, not sure what we're doing, humble before God, aware of sin and failings, this is the place God meets us and draws us into his mission. Peter's awareness of his own sin, it doesn't exclude him from joining in God's mission to save people. It's exactly the qualification Peter needs to get on board, which he does. Verse 11, without hesitation and with wholehearted devotion. On the journey of a lifetime, or closing with Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you that Jesus was so clear in his priority to share the gospel that we might hear it. Thank you, we can trust Jesus in all he says. And we pray that we might indeed follow Jesus with our lives. For our sake, as we come to you in repentance and faith, are saved and have our lives changed. And for the sake of others, as we join in your mission to save other sinners just like us. Amen.